Episode 6. This is a special encore presentation of our 15th annual Pro-Life miniseries dedicated to the Catholic Church's beautiful teaching on the dignity of every human life. I want to begin this unprecedented episode 6 by reflecting upon St. Paul's second letter to St. Timothy, chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. This passage of God's inspired word is unfortunately never, ever, 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 ever read on a Sunday. Ever. It is read once every other year, but only during the week on Saturday morning of the ninth week of the year. So you can follow along in your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 to 4. You don't have your Bibles this morning. Okay, well, I'll read the passage for you. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 to 4. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but following their own desires, surround themselves with teachers who tickle their ears. They will stop listening to the truth and will be diverted to myths. Wow. What St. Paul wrote as a warning to St. Timothy 2,000 years ago could not be more true in our own day, because God's word speaks to every generation from age to age. So many people in our own day will not tolerate sound doctrine because they want to follow their own evil desires. So many people in our own day are diverted by myths and false teachers. So many people in our own day have stopped listening to the truth about marriage as God intended between only one man and one woman. In his letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verse 15, St. Paul says that we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Now, you think it was a crooked and perverse generation at the time of St. Paul. It is certainly a crooked and perverse generation now, as we elect leaders and vote for policies that are gravely offensive to Almighty God. As we openly celebrate and cheer when we elect leaders and vote for policies precisely because they allow us to violate God's beautiful commandments, statutes, and decrees. We laugh when constitutional amendments in harmony with God's divine laws are defeated, rejected, renounced, and rebuked. Talk about a crooked and perverse generation. But we shouldn't be surprised by our crooked and perverse generation. 2,000 years ago, St. Paul warned us, for the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but following their own desires, surround themselves with teachers who tickle their ears and tell them only what they want to hear. They will stop listening to the truth and will be diverted to myths. Parce Domine, parce populo tuo. Spare, O Lord, your people. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. My God, forsake us not, for we do not know what we do. I noticed that many people were very discouraged after Tuesday's election. There were a lot of people who were moping around on Wednesday. I said, "Why are you moping around?" One good person told me, "Well, Father, every single person or every amendment I voted for didn't win." Other people said, "Father, we prayed and we fasted that marriage as God intended would be protected, and it didn't do one bit of good." And I respond by saying, false. False. maybe your prayers and fasting for marriage did convert hearts and win souls over to the Lord, but the Lord doesn't reveal that to you to keep you humble. And did not your prayers and fasting at least strengthen your faith and your relationship with the Lord Jesus? In the Old Testament book of Daniel, don't you remember what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to King Nebuchadnezzar when the wicked king threatened to throw the three young men into the hot, fiery furnace for failing to fall down and worship the pagan golden statue? They said, "If our God, whom we serve, can save us from the white-hot furnace and from your hands, O king, may he save us. But even if he will not save us, you should know, O king, that we will not serve your God or worship the golden statue which you have set up." Now that's perfect. If God will convert the minds and hearts of our brothers and sisters to the truth about marriage, may he convert these hearts and minds so that the laws in Minnesota and the United States will defend the truth about marriage. But even if not, even if the laws in this country do not protect marriage, we will not obey laws that are unjust or believe anything different about marriage than what God reveals to us. The truth hasn't changed one single bit after Tuesday's election, right? If I show my students a picture of a large, four-legged, gray animal weighing 24,000 pounds with a very long trunk, two ivory tusks, and huge ears, and 51.7% of them vote and say that animal is a giraffe, is it now a giraffe? Of course not. The truth is, it's still an elephant. And if the majority of people vote and say that I am facing south right now, is it now south? Of course not. A vote doesn't change the truth that right now I am facing due northeast. And if the majority of people vote that marriage can be whatever you want it to be, it still doesn't change the truth that marriage is between only one man and one woman. Even if I'm the only priest who preaches and believes this, the truth about marriage doesn't change. Marriage is still between only one man and one woman. And so if you're discouraged after Tuesday's election, perhaps you have placed your trust in a particular man or woman. Perhaps you've placed your trust in a politician or in the passage of a constitutional amendment. Perhaps you've placed your trust and confidence in the good people of the state of Minnesota. If you've done that, I say be very, very careful. That's heresy. On the contrary, we place our trust and confidence in Jesus Christ. The world already has an awesome, perfect Savior. It's not our politicians, and it's not the good people of the state of Minnesota. It's Jesus Christ. And so if you've placed your trust and confidence in someone other than Jesus, no wonder you're discouraged and disappointed. But if you place your trust and confidence in Jesus Christ, you know he's already won the victory. He's already defeated his opponent, and he's won. The enemy has lost forever. The words that St. Paul wrote in his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, bring us great consolation. He writes, "We are afflicted in every way possible, but we are not crushed. We're perplexed, yet never despair. We're persecuted, but never abandoned. We're struck down, but not destroyed." This is what Christians say when they lose a small battle or undergo persecution. That's what we say. We're perplexed by all of this, but we don't despair. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. We're persecuted, but we're not crushed. Christians never give up or lose hope. Therefore, St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, we are not discouraged. we're not discouraged. St. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, he says, in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation, hold on to the word of life. And I say the same thing to you, my dear friends, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. In the midst of this crooked and perverse, depraved generation, hold on to the word of life, who is Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. We are not discouraged because we cling to our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray for our brothers and sisters to have a conversion of mind and heart and to believe what God reveals to them about marriage, because nothing is impossible with God. We continue to pray that marriage will be strengthened in the state of Minnesota as God intends. And we pray for the courage to suffer with Jesus for the sake of righteousness. As our first pope, St. Peter, tells us in his first letter, chapter 4, verse 13, he says, rejoice in the measure that you share Christ's sufferings. Rejoice in the measure that you share in Christ's sufferings. Rejoice in the measure, in the degree, in the portion that you get to share in Christ's sufferings. He says, rejoice. There's no room for Debbie Downers. There's no room for Eeyore. St. James tells us in the letter of James, chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, count it pure joy when you are involved in any sort of trial. Realize that when your faith is tested, this makes for endurance. Count it pure joy when you are involved in every sort of trial. There's no room for Eeyore here. Joy in suffering. Who considers suffering with Jesus a pure joy? I do. I rejoice and I share my joy this morning with all of you that after Tuesday's terrible election results, we get to share even more profoundly in Christ's suffering. What a great grace. In the same way, St. Paul says, you should rejoice and share your joy with me.